All right, the recording has been started. And with Leif Smith, Matt Wilcox, and Alex Dahlstrom present, we do have quorum of the board. It is 11:01 a.m. and we'll call the meeting to order. At this time, we'll address items 1B, approval of agenda. If there are any suggestions for any amendments to the agenda, please let us know now. Otherwise, we'll be looking for a motion to approve the agenda as it stands. Somebody like to make that motion?
Motion to approve the agenda as it stands, Leif Smith.
Is there a second?
Second, Alex Dahlstrom.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 Moving on to public comment, if there are any members of the public that would like to address the boards, please state your name and do so now.
Hey, Brian.
Go ahead.
Brian,
this is Tom. I like to make sure we call. We have a motion to open the public to, okay. To open and close the motion or the public portion of the meeting. Just for the minutes, it's helpful.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, Tom. Thank you.
Motion to open the public comment portion of the meeting, Leif Smith.
Thank you, Leif. Is there any seconds?
I'm second, Matt Wilcox.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 The public comment portion of the meeting is open. If there are any members of the public that would like to address the boards, please state your name and do so now.
There is no one on site, on location from the public.
Thank you, Derek. All right, seeing and hearing none, we'll take a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close the public hearing, Leif Smith.
Second, Alex.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you. And just so everybody is aware, item 1D, director comments. When members of the public comments or address the boards, you're not required to respond. In case you would like to respond, we do leave a section here for director comments. So if there is a designated space there. But being no public, we'll move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda, items A, B, C, and D. We can take these all in one motion, but if there are any members or if there's any questions regarding any of the items listed here, please feel free to ask them.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A, B, C, and D, Leif Smith.
Is there a second?
Second, Matt Wilcox.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, moving on to action items, starting with item 3A, consideration and approval of unaudited financial statements for the period ending December 31st, 2025. Derek, is there anything that you want to review on these financial statements or anything you'd like to present?
So we can go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll jump in on the presentation. We do want to briefly go over the December financials and the March 31st financials, just to make sure we have that taken care of. And so we typically only have one quarter at a time, but we didn't meet earlier this year, so we're going to cover both year-end and March 31st financials. Do you mind going to the next page, page 11? So first, we'll go through the December 31st financial statements. I'm going to buzz through these fairly quickly. There's not a lot of activity ending last year or even the next presentation for first quarter that are different than what was expected. So we'll just go through those briefly. But if any point in time you want to ask any questions, please just stop me. And then I'm happy to answer those questions. All right. So on your screen, you do have the Soleil Hills Public Infrastructure District number 1 general fund. As you can see in the format, the columns on the left, there's the original budget, and then there was an amended budget. So we did amend the budget last year, and so there is that amended budget column. Then there's the actual activity through December 31st, 2025. And then there's a variance column to the right. I'm going to focus most of my comments on the actual through column on each of these pages. So here we have our general fund. What you can see here from a revenue and expense standpoint, This district is funded by developer advances for the time being, as there's no funds on hand or an independent or self-produced funding source for the operations. So the developer is funding those costs. And for 2025, total amount recognized was $16,496. And that was to cover the expenses, which you can see down below, for accounting and legal district management costs for 2025 totaled $16,496. So the district's not holding any funds. So you can see the beginning and ending fund balance as zeros. We're only asking for the money that we need to pay the bills and recognize those revenues and expenditures. So obviously came very much under budget in 2025. Moving to the next page, we have our debt service fund. So the debt service fund is where we collect all of the property taxes and revenues that are pledged to the repayment of the bonds. And then this is where we pay those bonds. What you'll see, again, looking at the actual through column, there at the top, total revenues of $121,859 was all interest income on the reserves that are required by the bond documents. We didn't have any other revenue sources for debt service in 2025. And below, you'll see under the expenditures, we have some placeholders for expected future expenditures. But what you can see, there were no bond payments made in 2025, nor trustee payments. And so there's zero activity in 2025. And then below that, you'll see our other sources and uses. This was another source. At the bond closing, there was $3.8 million set aside as part of the required reserves. And so those monies were put in place, and those are paying the interest payments for the first little while on the bonds. So we have those monies in place, which we'll see in 2026 start to activate. But we'd see no expense activity in 2025. Then moving to the next page, page 13, here we have our capital projects fund. So the capital projects fund is where really the bond issuance happened. So we saw all the bond issuance money come in and then that largely spent. But I'll start at the top. There we see our revenues, non-bond issuance related revenues. We did have some interest earnings of $119,197. Capital outlay, so these were reimbursements to the developer for public infrastructure costs. In 2025, we can see that we paid out $23,750,954. And then below that, you can see the bond issuance activity where you see the bond proceeds coming in. You see the payments for the cost of issuance of those bonds, and then the transfer to the debt service fund that we previously looked at. So what this shows us at the bottom, there is an ending fund balance. So we did end 2025 with $17,555 in it, in the account. So those monies are available to pay or reimburse the developer for infrastructure costs. We paid everything out and then we just had a little bit left over and some interest earnings that came in after the final payment. So there is a small amount that we can still requisition and pay to the developer for year end. Any questions there?
Nope.
Okay. So that is the presentation for the December 31st, 2025 financial statements.
Thank you, Brandon. Before we move on to the March 31st, if there are no questions, we would like to ask for a motion to approve the unaudited financial statements for the period ending December 31st, 2025.
Motion to approve as stated, Leif Smith.
Second, Alex.
Yeah, like where the
hell. All in favor, say aye.
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 Super windy.
And, motion passes. Moving on to the March 31st financial statements.
Great. So if you could jump to page 16. Similar exercise. Here we have our first quarter, March 31st financial statements. I'll go through the general fund, debt service fund, and capital fund. Please stop me if you have any questions. What we see here through first quarter of 2026 is more activity than we saw last year. This year, we'll hold more board meetings. We've also activated the financial statement audit. And so there's just an extra level of activity that we're seeing in 2026 through March 31st. You can see the developer advances totaling $9,153. And that is to cover the expenses for our accounting, some insurance, and then some legal and district management costs totaling $9,153. We haven't seen any of the audit invoices come through yet, but that audit is well underway. And so we will have those here probably in the next little bit. I mean, that's the activity in the general fund this year so far through the first quarter. If you go to the second page, we'll jump to the debt service fund. Again, focusing on that actual through column in the middle, you can see total revenues for 2026 to date are $35,652, and this is just for interest income. We do have budgeted that there will be some property taxes as well as some contract fee revenues in 2026. And those numbers came from, those estimates came from the bond issuance documents, and so we have those built in, but we didn't see any of those revenues come in first quarter. We did, however, if you look under expenditures, have our March 1st bond payment, and that was paid from our capitalized interest fund. What we can see is that on March 1st, $1,458,000 was paid out on those bonds. And so that payment was made. And that does leave the district with an ending fund balance of about $2.5 million, which is, again, the required debt reserve plus a small amount of capitalized interest. All right, then moving to the next page, page 18, we have our capital projects fund. The capital projects fund, as we saw Q4, there was that $17,555 that carried over. There's been a small amount of interest income on that of $158. And so just no other activity, no expenses. You can see that ending fund balance of $17,713. So I'll follow up. Matt, I usually work with you through requisitions, but we'll follow up and just make sure we get squared away. If we have any costs already certified or what we need to do to just get everything taken care of so we can pay out that last $17,000.
Yeah, I'll mark that down and look at the costs.
All right. Any questions on the Q1 financial statements?
Nope.
All right. And that is the presentation for the Q1.
Thank you, Brendan. If there are no questions, we're looking for a motion to approve the financial statements for the period ending March 31st, 2026. Somebody like to make that motion?
Motion to approve as stated, Leif Smith.
And second by Matt Wilcox.
First and second, all in favor say aye.
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 And motion passes. And moving on to discussion items, for those who are unaware, new legislation amended House Bill 17, which affects districts' anchor locations. Tom, as a legal item, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here. Is there anything that you'd like to pass down to the board members regarding House Bill 17?
Sure. So, basically, the legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided that public infrastructure districts need to hold their meetings at a location within the boundaries of the district. And if there are no facilities within the boundaries of the district to hold such a meeting, then you have to hold the board meetings in a location in the district within the boundary of the creating entity. So that adds kind of an extra layer of challenge when we, and this, by the way, this law takes effect in 2 days on May 6th. So going forward, we can still maintain an anchor location. Usually it'll either be, you know, district council's place or this district manager's office, but we are going to have someone open the meeting at a location within the boundaries of the granting entity. And I think, was this Harriman that granted the Soleil Hills created was the creating entity.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, from a board efficiency and you know, a cost management standpoint, we think it makes sense to have a member of the developers team make sure that someone is within the boundaries of the granting entity. We are in the process right now of working with, at least for the PIDs with which we're involved, we're contacting the creating entity and asking if there could be a conference room or something within City Hall or maybe the public library where these meetings you know, could be held. I mean, most of the time, I personally haven't experienced where a member of the public has shown up to talk about these things, but I do know it's happened in other districts. So that's just something that we'll be coordinating with the board and the developers team to make sure we can get someone on site within the creating entities district. So in this case, within Harriman City, maybe, you know, you're at the public library or there's a place within the hall, City Hall, and you would have your representative just open up a web link on you know, on their computer. So more on that. We're working on that, and we'll be working with Brian and his team to give you more information for the next board meeting. Are there any questions?
Nope. We're happy to do that, though. I live in Harriman, very close to City Hall, and we have a good relationship with them. I think they'd let us use a space there, and if not, I think the library is a good option, like you said.
Great. Lee. Hey, Shanna. Hey,
Tom, I can speak. We spoke. Yeah, we spoke to Harriman City on Friday afternoon. They're not willing to let us use anything in the City Hall, but the library is definitely not going to be a problem as long as the person who books it has a Salt Lake County Library card, because it is a Salt Lake County Library, just the Harriman branch. And both Hannah and myself do, so we can always book those meeting rooms at the library, and it wouldn't be a cost. The thing with City Hall is it was going to be a charge
to use one of their rooms. Yeah, let's plan on the library then. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thank you for that update, Shanna. I disagree with the city's interpretation. The challenge we have all along in creating these PIDs and some of the other things is once they're formed, they are a co-equal branch of government, quasi-municipal governmental agency, and there should be no charges for use of a City Hall conference room for another local governmental agency. So that's something we're just going to have to work through with these administrators. And Leif, perhaps given the fact that you guys have a good relationship with Harriman, we can, you know, I'll have Shanna coordinate with you to maybe reach out. And, you know, I think it's just an education process of what we're trying to do. And it's easy to say no, but, you know, if I need to write a legal letter, I'm happy to do that as well.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll work with Shanna on that. I think if you never know, but I think if I made the ask, I'm pretty sure they'd say yes. Okay. We've given them enough of our money.
Well, but the underlying legal consideration is the fact that this district is a quasi-municipal governmental agency, and you know, and they should accommodate the request.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom. All right, if there are no other questions, administrative non-action items is just a reminder about that annual board training and Open and Public Meetings Act. The link is provided there as well. Is there anything that wasn't discussed or anything that the board members would like to discuss before we adjourn the meeting?
Not for the meeting, no.
Nope.
Okay. Tom, do you prefer to take motion to adjourn?
Yes, please.
Motion to adjourn the meeting, Leif Smith.
Second, Alex.
First and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, it is 11:21 and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Thank you.